first impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Politics.com and EdSpringson.com, where you can go for all the latest, everything we do, actually, any stories, podcasts, whatever we're in the middle of. While you're at LouisvillePolitics.com or EdSpringson.com, please join our email and newsletter list, and we'll make sure we send updates to your inbox on a weekly or a monthly basis. We don't do that daily spam thing, so it's your choice. If you would be so inclined, please also join our RSS feed, and we'll make sure the radio shows get delivered to your inbox as soon as they are available on podcast, and you will be sent a reminder when we go live. And one more thing while we're at it. If you like what we do, believe in what we're doing, try to help us get the message across, try to use that little donate and now button at LouisvillePolitics.com or at Springston.com. We rely solely on your generosity to keep everything rolling. And it is at the end of the year, so we are kind of going to push now to make sure we can try to get everything funded for the next year going forward, and every little bit helps. You guys who don't like to use your computer and, you know, that kind of credit card stuff online, totally understandable. Just make a check money over payable to MVM Media. That's MVM Media, My View Matters Media. And you can send that to P.O. Box 58146, Louisville, Kentucky, 40268. For you guys that are new to this show, phone numbers as always, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. for you guys who are listening to you. As always, we love having you there, but please make sure you hit the number one on your dial pad, and we'll bring you on air as soon as possible. For all others, the chat room is now open. Yes, the live chat is now open, so if you'd like to go in here and make a few comments, feel free to, and you can chime into our live chat using your Facebook or Twitter accounts. How are you, Mr. Martin?
Oh, tired, man. Tired physically, mentally, and I tell you what, tired of the holidays already. It's like, I hate to sound like a Scrooge, but I tell you what, when you're in business and your business is tied to the shipping industry, man, Thursday holidays, they're head scratchers, man. You sit around and think, okay, what's going to happen?
So what are you telling me? You're just so busy you can't get it all shipped out because of the holidays?
Well, no, actually the holidays are disruptive. They kind of slow things down, but it gets basically everybody, it becomes impossible for customers and ourselves to schedule because you're looking at a week, worth of inbound freight, a week worth of outbound freight, and you're thinking, okay, like last week, we got to look at it and think, okay, well, Christmas Eve is on Wednesday, so it means we might ship some stuff out and in on Monday.
Right.
The likelihood goes down on Tuesday. It's non-existent on Wednesday and Thursday. And then you turn around, it's like it's just the lack of predictability. You go in Friday and you don't know if you're going to be swamped with people needing stuff on Monday and Tuesday for the next week, or if nothing happens. And it's just, you try to arrange production, your man hours and everything. You don't want to tell your guys, hey, come in, we're working a full day, and have absolutely nothing happen. And you don't want to, if they want to work, you don't want to tell them, no, forget it, we don't think anything's going to happen, so, enjoy your long weekend. It's just frustrating. I'm a teacher of habit. And it's like,
okay.
You sharpen your pencils and you simply try to predict what is unpredictable. And there are real dollars and cents attached to it. So it just wears me out.
If you say so, man, I tell you what, we could have saved a lot just saying unpredictable. Everything's not predictable right now. I'm having a bad day. Thanks for asking. See how easy that
went. But when your mind is where mine is right now, you don't just roll it up. It's like, hey, you asking me how unpredictable it is? Let me spend five minutes telling you how unpredictable it is.
Well, I've got a way to help you with all of that. I've got a way to help you with that anxiety that's created because of the unpredictability. I've got a way to help you with all of your troubles, sir.
Kentucky bourbon.
Kentucky bourbon helps, but it doesn't do everything you want it to do because there's a lot of side effects with Kentucky bourbon, depending on how you drink it. No, House Speaker Greg Stumble has announced that he will file a bill in this General Assembly session beginning next month to allow medical marijuana. There you go. Tell a doctor to say you've got anxiety and then go buy you some drugs.
There you have it. We're zero tolerance, so, I don't think so. I don't think every insurance company is going to play along with that too well.
Well, you never know. If they pass it, they will. It is interesting, though, because
that means it's not criminal, but it doesn't mean that within the walls of a private sector company with private insurance, there's still somebody that can say, hey, we don't care if it's legal or not. You're not coming to work with that in your system. Just like alcohol, alcohol is perfectly legal. Don't show up for work drunk, please.
I hear you. Well, it makes it interesting because the Democrats have been the ones who have always fought anything to do with medical marijuana. Of course, we now have all kinds of states, Colorado, Washington, a whole bunch of them that have medical marijuana. And now Kentucky is going to bring it up this session. However, they did bring it up last session. But what's interesting to me is Greg Stumbo is kind of, I'm going to go down the conspiracy theory road. And I'll tell you why I brought it up. Because now Greg Stumbo is going to file this. He doesn't know if it's going to get through or not, but he's sure it's going to get plenty of play. I find it interesting because, now all of a sudden the Democrats who have been fighting this are now possibly for it. At the same time last year they were fighting the local option sales tax. Now this year it's the number one priority. Maybe they want everybody to get high so we don't see the taxes they're passing. I don't know. But
well, either that or maybe they're sending the tax revenue to that Colorado is bringing in, and you know that would be a whole lot easier just to increase the tax revenue than it would be to actually, you know, spend wisely. But I don't know. Medical marijuana, you know, libertarian pedigree, I'm all for it. You know, I've said it as a candidate. You know, I think THC should be a drug we look into, a naturally occurring drug with what matters a lot of the side effects that a lot of the synthetic drugs have. So, mm-hmm. You know, I'm very pleased with the fact they're actually looking at it, you know, and I think actually my council person, Julie Denton, may have had something to do with that. She, you know, brought it up last go around, at least for experiments at U of L on seizures and stuff. So, you know, that's the nice things about her case.
Well, that's the best interesting thing.
Now, there are some studies going on,
but isn't that interesting, though? Because that just reinforced what I'm saying, though, because Julie Denton is a Republican. The Republicans have not really had any problems with medical marijuana. Greg Stumbo is the Speaker of the House, and he's a Democrat. He's one of the leaders who have been fighting against medical marijuana. So why now? Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I wanted to point that out to our audience.
I tell you, as far as why now, I'd say really nothing more than laziness. I think what we've got is I always wanted that wishes I could put words like innovative and leadership, you know, honest leadership, innovative, and into government, and they're not. They're, you know, we're far enough behind the eight ball now. We're far enough behind the curve. We've seen other states do it. So we're following their lead. That's all. It's just, you know, Colorado did it, and it was funny for a while. Then we realized how much money was coming in, and we realized, hey, guess what? Maybe some other forms of crime fall off. And they say, hey, guess what? Maybe some other forms of drug abuse fall off. So, you know, we're basically following Colorado's lead and I think California's lead, you know, as far as the medical goes. And next up, I sure as hell wish they would, you know, do some decriminalization of it and look at the same time, look at restorative justice is where people who are convicted of nonviolent crimes do their time, you know, they did the crime, did the time, and they can get their voting rights and such back. So, you know, hopefully that's it. If we can't get there any other way, maybe we can get there that way at some point, legalizing a drug and then looking back and saying, okay, you know, at the very least anybody that was convicted of it when it was illegal, for God's sake, you know, it's not illegal now. So, you know, give them the rights back.
I just find it very interesting. I tell you, Larry Clark.
To me, it's a lack of leadership. We are simply, it's followership. We're following other states, and it's about time.
Well, I tell you, of course, we're always following somebody. Kentucky's scared to lead on anything, or we'd already had industrial hemp. But, you know, it is very, very interesting, though, because, you know, last year they're against it. This year they're for it. You know, maybe they saw something from the recent November elections. You know, in the November elections, the Democrats got their asses handed to them in the House and the Senate. And Kentucky's scared that that wave is going to reach us, so that maybe the Democrats here in Kentucky are going to open up a little bit more to try to protect themselves in the next couple of elections. I don't know. But I find it interesting that Darrell Owens is going to take over as majority speaker. You know, Larry Clark has stepped down from that position. Darrell Owens right here in Louisville is going to take over that position. Darrell Owens is one of the most entrenched Democratic mafia representatives we've ever had in Louisville. And, you know, he's also has decided that the number one goal of the House, the state House this year, is the local option sales tax, or LOST. You know, so in order to get that, that's what it is. That's the acronym for local option sales tax, right? So, you know, that is the big thing. The people who are going to benefit from the local option sales tax, or the people who are going to get screwed, I should say, are basically Louisville and Lexington. Those are the two cities that they really want this in because of how much tax revenue we bring up. So, you know, I find it very interesting that all of a sudden, because they want this lost so bad, is to trade off medical marijuana. I personally have always supported medical marijuana. I got involved with medical marijuana fight a few years ago, and I'll be honest with you, it's really personal for me. When I look at something like Charlotte's Web, which is a liquid form of the THC and marijuana content, and what it has been able to do with special needs children, adults who suffer from seizures and stuff. I've got a special needs godchild, and I was able to see the miracle that this Charlotte's Web created for these children in Colorado, and it made me a very big proponent of medical marijuana because I could relate to it firsthand. So it's interesting to me because they have been denying any possibilities of this, but all of a sudden now they're going to focus on a new tax that's going to affect, you know, the city, that's going to drive more business out of here, or at least more consumer goods won't be served, because now you've got a $9 an hour minimum wage, a local minimum wage, which I hope gets struck down, you know, in the appeals process. All of these things come together, and it's all about one thing, bringing more and more money. So are they caving on medical marijuana because it's the right thing to do, or are they trying to do the bait and switch, you give us a local option sales tax and we'll give you medical marijuana? You see what I mean? I'm going to be really interested to see what Republicans do.
Well, it'll be interesting because, you know, and a lot of it comes down to the media. It's a, you know, they accuse them of being lazy, too. So it'll be, you know, it may give them some cover. They may, you know, as government does sometimes, kind of slip through the local option sales tax, let it be a paid six kind of deal with the local media, which is, you know, lazy and complicit in many cases. And, you know, that way they can have a, you know, it's a meeting with a tempestuous debate over medical marijuana, you know, and go up. It's kind of an inflammatory topic, although most people are in favor of it. And, yeah, I agree with you. I think if you give them some cover, gets everybody talking about medical marijuana while local option sales tax nearly goes through, the Republicans protest, but the media doesn't write anything about
right.
it, that kind of stuff, you know. But, yeah, and it's just, you know, it's something that a lot of people have strong feelings about on both sides. Most people favor it. So, yeah, it's a gimme. I doubt it'll pass, but it'll give people something to talk about. And yeah, on a positive note, it starts the dialogue up again from beyond, you know, what Julie Denton proposed last year for the studies at U of L.
Right.
But, yeah, and that's a good thing. But, yeah, I'm with you. I think it's a bait and switch. I think it's a gimme to a lazy-ass media. So they can run, 15 to 20 stories about medical marijuana, you know. And a lot of them will be canned stories from other publications and other news outlets.
Or press releases, yeah. I mean, and that's the whole thing. And when you look at, you know, we talk about marijuana, we're talking about legalizing marijuana in Kentucky. Finally, you know, they're going to do it for whatever reason, or at least they're looking at doing it for whatever reason. And you mentioned a minute ago about, you know, maybe this will help us with you know, curtail other drugs. And there's a reason that's important to point that out, too. Bashir, of course, has just went on record. There was a story on him late last week from WFPL. But Bashir says that he feels positive that we're going to get a bill passed that's going to strengthen the state's heroin laws. Now, here's the thing for me. This is all it basically said. He said, it just appears to be a growing bipartisan relief that we can get something done on this. I'm going to sit down, so basically tell the whole world the same thing. I'm going to continue talking about something with no plan. But it's interesting because, you know, we're talking about heroin deaths, heroin overdose deaths in Kentucky of about 230 a year. That's what they were in 2013. You know, he's talking about they expect that to increase by more than 12%. Okay, so that's all well and good. I really don't have much problem with that, except we've got heroin laws in place that aren't being enforced. We've got 230. I mean, the thing for me is this. They continue putting more and more laws in place for some sort of so-called drug epidemic. Yes, heroin's a serious drug. Yes, we've lost 230 people last year. But out of the millions that live in Kentucky, is that a big number? You know, are we going to, you know, are we using this once again as a way for them to scam some more money to act like they're doing something about drugs while they're still out there playing the games with all this other political stuff, like the lost? I've just got some problems with the fact that they continue trying to come back to the same thing when they're not reinforcing or doing anything about what we've got to work with. Our heroin laws are pretty damn good. You get caught with heroin, go to jail, you know. Get treatment, do whatever. Yeah. I mean, there are all kinds of opportunities available, and we are not, once again, in this so-called war on drugs, whether it's marijuana, heroin, or anything else, we are not doing anything to enforce what we already have. So why do we continue wasting such valuable time in a 2 or 3 month session of our Kentucky Congress over something that really is minuscule overall in the big picture?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's there, you know, and it's destructive. But, you know, again, another thing along your, God, you're sucking me into it, man. This conspiracy theory thing.
That's my job.
If they can generate enough headlines, we can also probably excuse, you know, sarcasm here. We could probably excuse the media from reporting on the fact that they never really did fix the pension. So, you know, it's like, hey, we're busy here arguing about medical marijuana and arguing about gay marriage and arguing about things that don't have anything to do with whether, you know, you'll be able to feed yourself in your retirement or not. So
right.
I hope you're entertained. You know?
Well, that's it, and you know, and of course, one of the things that the biggest thing that they're trying to push is nothing more than another drug company narcotic. They're trying to push something called Narcan. Van Ingram, he's the executive director of the Kentucky's Office of Drug Control Policy, is saying that one of the things that they hope to be able to do is create a wider availability of Narcan. Narcan is essentially a drug that you inject that's supposed to stop the effects of the opiate. So if you get ready to overdose on heroin or something, somebody injects you with this Narcan, it's supposed to immediately halt the effects of any of it so that you don't die. And that's, I guess, a good thing. But, you know, and I mean, I know it's a good thing saving lives, but at the same time, you know, what is this going to do? Now they're going to bring another overpriced drug into the market just like they did OxyContin. What was that one we brought in to offset the OxyContin? Now that's a big deal. You know, we've got all of these different things out there. They're never doing anything to address the problem. They continue to try to treat a symptom and create a new drug that's real expensive that we can't afford and don't need. If 230 people a year are dying from heroin because, you know, we're not enforcing the laws we've got, why do we continue making it worse? That just drives me completely nuts. It just really, really does. Yeah, you mentioned the media, Ed, and I want to put this out there because this is something as well. But when you talk about the media and we talk about, you know, like they're going to continue, you know, going to other people and repeating the same story from the same source in 1,000 different outlets, you know, mainstream media has an agenda. The local media has an agenda. And they're all funded, you know, by corporate dollars, if you will. But what's fascinating, and most people don't know this, you know, and this is really what a major problem is. This is why it's so important to pay attention to Hearst and all the other people who own media. But back in 1983, we had about 50 corporations that controlled the news media right here in the U.S. What has ultimately happened, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, of course, in the early 70s, we had Watergate, Bernstein and all those guys. You had Watergate, you had all these different things, you had all this different media, you had real in-depth investigative stories. And we continued that through the 80s. But one of the biggest problems that we have today, and this is why we see so many recycled stories, it's like the USA Today stories get put on every Gannett newspaper as if it's original news. Just look at the Courier Journal, 3 pages every day. You know, but we have went from 50 corporations down to 6 big corporations. We've went from 50 media corporations down to about 6. You've got, think about these names, Time Warner, Walt Disney, Viacom, Rupert Murdoch's News Corp, CBS, and NBC. Those are the big 6 that make all of the news and entertainment in the U.S. They're essentially tied to everything. And we wonder why mainstream media is so controlled.
Yeah. Well, I think it's not only ownership. I mean, that consolidation like that tends to eliminate competition. But I think it's a news entertainment industry, and just like reality TV and everything else, they're taking a look at, you know, how cheaply can they put a product out there and keep you entertained, you know, and keep it relatively popular to where they could sell advertising. And it's just that, to me, I'm convinced that's what it is. I mean, just like our local media, the stories are, every once in a while, a good one comes up, and, you know, there's a couple of reporters that I like, but for the most part, it's canned, it's puff, and if there's any doubt in your mind of what the paper, say like the Louisville Courier Journal, exists for anymore, just witness that ahead of certain shopping days, whether you subscribe to the paper or not, you get one, because it's all about advertising. It's not, you know, they're not, I'm sure there's some idealistic people, but I'm sure they get pinched. Their stories get pinched. And it's about putting out a product every day, you know, if it's broadcast news every few hours, that is easy to produce and keeps people's eyeballs on it. And that's really all they're in. They're not trying to, you know, I think
let's look at a bigger picture here.
I think there's sometimes a certain slant, but I think the news media, for the most part, is looking at how easily and how rapidly and how cost effectively it can put stories out there. It's not trying to actually get anything accomplished, fix anything, or anything like that.
What if?
What if?
I mean, let's look at this realistically. Right? I mean, as a business, you're a business owner. I'm a business owner. As a business, of course, we're going to look at the most cost-effective manner to run our business, because we have to pay the bills, we have to produce an income, right? That's just nature of the beast.
Right.
That's a business. But when you think about it, this though, when you look at these big six, when you consider that the media, you know, all of the United States media, over 300 million people have access to this media, and it's conglomerated down to a big six. Think about this. All right. When that kind of power is concentrated, and don't be anyone fooled that the media is not a powerhouse, when that kind of power is concentrated through your television, your radio, through your print media, thank God we have online media like we do, because we can be an alternative to all of this. But, you know, you are programming things to tell people, you know, you can control their thoughts. And when you can control their thoughts, you can kind of generate them to where you want to go. Right? You kind of lead them to where you want that to be. And when we look at that, think about it. Think about the stuff that's constantly being pounded into our heads. Let's look at the most recent political situation, if you will. Barack Obama released three Cuban terrorists and spies for one U.S. spy. Anybody who thinks this guy is innocent is lying to themselves. While that was going on, the news media never reported the $50 billion that it cost us to do that. He gave up $50 million, not billion. He gave up $50 million and three spies to get this one spy back from Cuba. Now, as soon as that hit the airwaves, what happened? Sony is going to drop the interview movie because of threats from North Korea that didn't exist. North Korea has since been proven to have nothing to do with those threats, and the interview was supposedly going to be canceled from being shown on Christmas Day, only to find out Christmas Eve, well, we changed our mind again, and now we're going to do it. But it shifted our attention to an entertainment movie that was probably a piece of junk. It wouldn't have made a dime anyway. It shifted our attention back to North Korea, who doesn't have the power to kill a mouse with a mousetrap right now outside of their border, okay? And it took the attention away from what I consider to be treasonous activity by releasing these Cuban terrorist spies and paying to do so. We just negotiated and bought the release of one American spy. We did the same thing with Bo Bergdahl. We gave up five terrorists and billions of dollars to Qatar to release Bo Bergdahl, who was an army deserter. These are treasonous things. This violates every principle the United States is about. But the media baited and switched us over to this idiotic movie that didn't mean a hill of beans, and tried to make us make North Korea relevant again so that they could pull this off behind our backs. So when we talk about the concentration and power of six media corporations that control most of this, isn't that alarming?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like I say, it's no competition. That's the problem. They can all – conspiring becomes real easy because there's so few people to talk to and they're not going to break rank. Like I say, just by the same token, it's an easy product. There's no competition. I mean, you have some competition with Fox versus, you know, you have the ultra right wing is probably not telling the truth 100% of the time, and you got the left wing that's not telling the truth 100% of the time. But, you know, most of the stories are pretty well canned, and there's just no competition. Nobody's out there trying to one up the other guys, and that I think is the biggest problem. It's like, you know, in a lot of towns, You've got, like our town, Louisville, we've got one newspaper, and that's it. And there's no competition. They, they can do a bunch of jack-off stories and stuff, and it's not like anybody's going to buy another paper. It seems like every month fewer people are buying that paper, but my God, if they had competition, they'd been out of business a long time ago.
I think it's
a lack of competition, and I think it's just like soda pop and fast food and everything else. It's lack of competition of providers is they can afford to be lazy, they can afford to be cheap.
But that's
and
the whole
nothing,
thing because
there's nothing that anybody can do about it.
Well, and that's the whole thing, because in 1983, we had 50 different corporations that essentially did this. Now we're down to 6. So all these other corporations have been absorbed, you know, bought out and everything else to make these 6 mega conglomerates, if you will. And really the reality is, when you have that kind of power, when you control what Americans watch, when you control what Americans hear, when you control what Americans read, you can control what people think. All right, and that's exactly what it is. And if you look at this in context, we talk about the entertainment value. You know, they don't call this programming for nothing. It's not a TV program for nothing. They're programming to you to, you know, we've used the term in the past about brainwashing, and that's exactly what a lot of this is, and that's what the American people, that's why we have become such sheep, in my opinion. You know, even on the Internet, even on the Internet, I mean, if you look at the Internet, you know, even as little as 5 years ago, Ed, you know, look at the amount of choices that you had and the way that you were getting information. Now, 5 years later, everything is being driven by Google, Yahoo, and Microsoft, period. The end. They're giving you all of their advertising. They're taking all of their revenue, and they are buying out all these little companies. You know, Sun Microsoft, that was sold out many, many years ago. That's a lot of these microsystems started with. When you look at fast players like Adobe and all of that stuff, all these things get absorbed. So you've got one corporate empire. Now, I love business. I love the free market. And I'm not sitting here complaining about corporations, you know, annexing one another or buying each other out. Not at all in the least, including media. But I do believe that there has to be a way for us to force media to do their job. We can quit watching NBC, and they're going to lose money, but let's face facts. Look at MSNBC right now, Rachel Manchild, as our good friend Dale the Truth refers to her. but look at Rachel Maddow. You know, and you look at the way MSNBC has been going. You look at them having Al Sharpton having his own show. We'll get into some more of him later. But when you look at all of these things, MSNBC is the lowest rated of all of them. They're not even meeting overhead, okay? But because they're owned by this corporate conglomerate, they don't have to worry about real news. They are told what to say. We know Cheryl Atkinson and a few others left CNN because Barack Obama and the president's office were buying advertising and telling them what they were allowed to say and what they weren't. You're going to report what we want you to do or you won't get any access. So, you know, the politicians are playing ball with the media. When you go beyond that and look into that, I mean, let's look at a Supreme Court story today. All right, this is what happens. You know, this media can get this big. Because when you get into things like the Supreme Court is even monopolized by big corporations. There's a new report out by Reuters that shows, well, you know what? We're going to take the bottom of the hour break, and we'll get into that when we get back, because this is going to be a minute conversation. I think you really want to talk about it. Let's take a break, and we'll come back to that one. Folks, call our numbers as always, 858-683-1326, 502-805-0334. If you guys are listening to Q, make sure you hit that number 1. We'll get you on air. We will be right back. You're listening to the Ed Springer Show right here at the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. Erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email MyViewMatters at AOL.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Numbers as always, 858-683-1326, 502-805-0334. I tell you, we're going into break, and we've been talking a little bit about this media conglomerate, how we went from 50 corporations to 6 corporations that essentially take care of all the media in America, print, read, you know, read, whatever. We look at all of that, and you know, Ed, you were making the argument that, you know, that's business. It's no problem with it. It's entertainment. They're doing this to make money and profits. Of course, I'm taking the position that this is all, you know, pure programming the sheeple, which is what I believe. And when I look at this, then I had to start going just a next step further, and I mentioned it right before we went to commercial. You know, when you look at this, let's look at some of the effects of this media, and let's look at some of the effects of how corporations have forced the politicians like Obama and others before him to tell the media what they're allowed to report and what they're not if they want access. Let's talk about the U.S. Supreme Court for a minute, if you will. You know, Citizens United was one of the most divisive, in my opinion, recent rulings by the Supreme Court over the last few years, and it's all about, you know, campaign money. You know, we've created these super PACs and everything else where you can give unlimited contributions to essentially buy politicians because that is what you're doing. And I think a lot of that has to do with this. There's a story coming out today. I'll post this for you guys into the chat room. But there's a story coming out today out of the New York Times, and they do a breakdown on a Supreme Court since about 2004, I believe it was. Anyway, the Supreme Court gets about 10,000 petitions every year, Ed. Out of that 10,000, they only accept somewhere around 75 of them. Now, what's really interesting about that is trying to figure out why the Supreme Court accepts a certain petition or why they don't. And when this, according to this story by Reuters, there's a good reason why they choose some over others. When you look at all of these, there is a very small and well-connected group of lawyers that seem to argue consistently in front of the Supreme Court. And when you break that down even further and you look at these so-called top litigators in the country, we find out that most of these litigators, almost all of them, in fact, work mainly for who? Corporate clients. They've either clerked for the justices, they know the justices personally, or they socialize with the justices at corporate events. And miraculously, 75 out of 10,000 petitioners, less than one half of 1% of all the lawyers who petition the court that involve these cases, take these cases to the Supreme Court, out of any of the lawyers that are involved in that small percentage, almost half of the time the justices hear the cases from these super lawyers, if you will, that are connected. That is not by coincidence, is it?
Oh, no. No. I mean, you know, it's not totally by conspiracy. I mean, as with anything, you know, you've dealt with lawyers, I've dealt with lawyers. When you have a case going to the Supreme Court, you do, you know, you pick a hired gun. So, I mean, I'm sure that has some to do with it. But, yeah, there's also, you know, there's definitely a group of lawyers whom, you know, I was once told it takes anywhere from a quarter million dollars to $500,000 or more to get a case before the Supreme Court. Average citizen can't do that. So, yeah, right. Absolutely. The costs and stuff, you know, you got to get backing, whether it's ACLU or whether it's, you know, major corporations. Your average guy doesn't have that kind of money. So,
but see,
yeah,
that's the thing, though.
If you want, you know, if you need to get the financing to go to the Supreme Court, you've got to align yourself with somebody with deep pockets, and somebody with deep pockets already has the lawyer that, in, you know, they have a guy in mind, and yeah, they control it. They control it via just the excessive legal costs involved with getting a case up there.
But that's exactly it, though. Let's look at the realistics here, because, you know, the litigation costs are so high because you're basically forced. If you know that there are only 8 lawyers, for the most part, who are going to be allowed to talk to the Supreme Court this year, and of those 8 lawyers, 2 of these guys know the Supreme Court justices, go to all the events, and they're all good friends, they party with them and everything else, and you know that these Supreme Court justices are going to allow those friendships, even though they're supposed to be impartial, are going to allow those friendships to aid them in pulling those cases forward over something that may or may not be better, then that lawyer can essentially charge anything he wants to guarantee you're going to get to the Supreme Court. He may not guarantee a win or loss, but he can guarantee you're going to get heard, and he can charge you anything he wants to. And that's where that litigation cost, the $500,000 and $1 million, comes from. You get a lawyer who has all these connections to the justices, which should have nothing to do whatsoever with whether a case should be heard or not, but because he parties with the judge, you know, you got a guy that goes out there and parties with Chief Justice John Roberts. You know, hey, John, dude, let's smoke a joint. We're getting ready to legalize that anyway. So you're sitting there drinking Kentucky bourbon and smoking a joint with Chief Justice John Roberts and saying, hey, I got this guy, and this is the case number, man. Can you guys listen? Oh, yeah, dude, we'll put it on the docket. Bring it on up. And it's a done deal. It didn't cost him $500,000 or $1 million for that daggone conversation with John Roberts to pull a favor. But that, unfortunately, is what we're doing. And that scares the hell out of me. It really does. So I don't know how we look at this, but I think it's very interesting that we have to look at that dynamic, because we expect our chief justices and our Supreme Court to be impartial, do we not?
Well, we do. And we also expect our politicians to represent us. But, you know, again, just like in campaigns and everything else, once things become so prohibitively expensive that it begins to limit. Yeah, and I'm for the free market, and if you have money, I don't care if you spend it on politics or not, but it does have a corrupting effect. When somebody tells you, you know, the further along the court system you get, the more expensive it gets, that is justice denied. Not only, you know, it's just in politics, it's access denied, and you know, you can't, like, KDP, you have to have at least $50,000, and we're not going to have you on our debates or whatever the hell that number was. You know, when we start making things prohibitively expensive, be it, you know, access to political races, access to the media, access to the courts, it ceases to be what it is supposed to be. So I think the expense comes first. I think the expense, you know, throughout, I think just the expense of getting access begins to limit things, and then once it's limited to a small clientele, a small group of people, a small group of corporations, I think you find the problem you run into then is that it's like you said, they hang out and party. Why? Because they're
not talking to that one woman about eating booty.
Hello.
Oh, it's okay. Go ahead, caller. Milwaukee, you're on the air.
What's up, man? I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, man. What's up?
What can we do for you?
Mac Doublehead ass, nigga. Snow cone.
Anyway, Ed, go ahead.
Anyway, that was, you know, as I like to point out, that was the smartest of his mother's children right there.
Yeah, really. that was the part that didn't fall down the leg.
That was the brains of the family right there.
There you go.
You can believe that.
There you go.
But yeah. I just think that sometimes you run into just the dynamic that once it's limited to a small group of people, small group of lawyers with access, yeah, they naturally are going to become friends. I'm not necessarily sure that the friendship begins and then the access follows. I think the access begets the friendship. I think You know, you have Supreme Court justices that are familiar with only a handful of lawyers because those are the ones that can get the funding to get the case all the way to the Supreme Court.
Well, I understand that. I just think that it makes our court system cheap. I really do.
Yep.
Because here we have all these corporations. They own the media. Now the corporations own the Supreme Court, and we wonder why the people are sheeple. You know why? Because we are being programmed to do and believe whatever we're told by the media, which is most of the mainstream media, quite honestly, folks, is all garbage. They're not telling you the truth. They're trying to take you down a path to believe and follow them. You know, and that's the problem. And then we look at the corporation going to the Supreme Court. So, it's just a serious, serious situation to me overall. And I can't help but wonder how much justice has not been served. You know, how many cases that are really out there in the Supreme Court that could make a difference in people's lives are not being heard because now we know that even the Supreme Court is showing favoritism to corporate clients. I mean, since when did corporate America, you know, get the right to own our justice system as well as everything else?
Yep.
It's a scary thing.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I had a personal story when I was duking it out with certain people over ballot access. Mm-hmm. You know, got to the state court of appeals level, and I could do that pro se. But then once it starts going up, like you say, then access starts becoming limited as just a factor of money. And, you know, I'm not sure at what level it starts, but at some point, and I'm not sure the corporations engineer it that way, but it just starts, after a while, it starts to become that because it is expensive to where, you know, the only players left in the game, whether by design or just whether by by accident, is the people. It is the organizations or the people with lots and lots of money to go up there and slug it out. And, you know, when that's the case, like you said, there'd be somebody, you know, who's going to argue against Citizens United? Because obviously the corporations want it. So where is somebody going to get the no doubt millions of dollars that it's going to take to shut that down?
Well, we know it's not going to be shut down. We know it's not going to be shut down because the Supreme Court already, you know, said Citizens United was legal. Why would you want to spend millions of dollars arguing against a Supreme Court who's ruling in favor of corporations that own them? You know,
well,
it's a cycle.
Exactly.
What I'm getting
and again, like I said, it's sometimes I'll stop shy of saying that the corporations own them. I'd say the corporations and the extremely well-financed individuals are the only ones with access to them. So that gives the appearance of being owned because, you know, it's like, hey, does a rich guy own the golf course he plays on? No. But if you're not allowed to play on it, it kind of looks like it from the outside looking in. Yeah, if he owns it, you don't. So sometimes I just think it gives the outward appearance. I think it's just a matter of the access and the legal profession. They just I'm not going to say by design or by accident, but just by the way it's put together, access is limited because access is expensive.
Well, I think it's interesting, to say the least. Okay. So, you know, we look at all of this, though, all right, and then we have to look at, you know, once again, we started this conversation with Supreme Court, kind of went there because of the mainstream media and the way that they dodge and deflect. And I used the interview and everything else in North Korea as a way to dodge and deflect the whole Cuban situation. But there was something else that went on last week during Christmas week as well. And at the height of the North Korea lie, at the height of the Sony lie about their movie, The Interview, the Obama administration was going about something quietly behind the scenes. They were trying to do everything they could to get two Islamist organizations off of a terror list. The Council on American Islamic Relations and the Muslim American Society are both listed as Islamist organizations by the Islamist money in every political database. So what essentially these databases do is they track any serious political spending by figures that are linked to these Muslim groups or these Islamist organizations. These reps from Karen Mass met with senior U.S. government officials in the Obama administration just right before Christmas because they were included on a UAE, the United Arab Emirates, official list of terrorist organizations. And the Obama administration is now aiding to try to get them off of that list. Is that what we're supposed to be doing? Is that our job, to involve ourselves in another nation's situation like that?
I think if you want off the list, just like anything else, you need to plead your case with the people who put you on the list. So, you know, if United Arab Emirates put them on the list, that's, you know, as the old Polish saying goes, not my circus, not my monkeys. That's not our fight. We got enough problems. If UAE put them on there, if the UAE put them on the list, then let them convince the UAE to take them off the list and leave us the hell out of it.
Well, see, and that's the thing, because, you know, of course, the Council on American Islamic Relations and the Muslim American Society are all U.S. are both U.S. organizations, if you will. You know, and the Obama administration meets regularly with representatives of these guys, and both of these groups, the CARE and the MAS, have been linked and proven to be linked to funding for terrorists. They clearly are terrorist organizations. The United Arab Emirates official list them as such for a reason, because all the money is linked back to these guys funneling and channeling money to terrorist groups and terrorist activities. So why is it that America, under the Obama administration, is okay with allowing ourselves to have meetings with representatives of terrorist organizations and then petition other nations to take these terrorist organizations off their watch list? Why is that acceptable? Do you think George Bush would have ever gotten away with that? I don't.
Not by a long shot. I don't think it's acceptable by a long shot. Now, granted, in this era of, you know, flipping people and conspiracy theories, maybe there's a possibility that we figured out how to use these organizations to gain deeper access. If we can free them up a little bit, maybe we've got somebody on the inside working for us. But no, I gotta say, on its face, if another nation lists someone as a terrorist organization, don't come crying to us to get you off their list. You need to plead your case with them. I mean, I would no sooner than the Russians come and, you know, plead with us to take some group off the list. You know, hey, you're our pals, man. What do you got them on the terrorist list for? I tell them, you know what? You want off the terrorist list, you prove to me you're off terrorist. Don't send somebody else to plead your case.
Well, and that's exactly the yes. You know, and we shouldn't be doing this anyway. But when I look at this, I look at this organized structure. And the reason I brought up George Bush wasn't because George Bush versus Barack Obama. But, you know, let's face facts here. When we talk about this mainstream media that's owned by six corporations that are controlling all the content that we get, you would not find any Republican, a George Bush, Mitt Romney, or anybody else out there getting a free ride against this kind of behavior. You wouldn't be getting a free ride for trading billions of dollars and five terrorists for one U.S. Army deserter. You wouldn't be getting a free ride because we traded millions of dollars and three terrorist spies for one U.S. spy that was caught in Cuba. All of these things add up to a pattern of behavior, and that's what I'm getting at. When I continue for many years now, you know, I allude to the media as the mainstream liberal media most of the time, and that's why. Because this, to me, just proves that we do have a liberal media who really doesn't care about the truth anymore. You know, we haven't since we went to six corporations and refused to start having independent and real investigative news reporting. We have an unfair advantage to the media based on political designation, not what's right for the American people. And we have a Supreme Court, apparently, that is owned by the same corporations in all but name. You know, and that's the whole purpose of this show tonight, was try to put all this together and let people understand. They think we're conspiracy theorists. They think I am. I know they don't think you are, but they think I am. They think that, you know, there's something hateful or evil or argumentative about bringing the truth to the table. But that's what MVM Radio does. we bring the truth and let people make up their own minds. In my opinion, all of this stuff is linked, and it's something that needs a serious discussion with the American people. You're not going to get it with mainstream media, and that's why I bring all this stuff up tonight. Ed, we are fast approaching the end of yet another hour, my friend. Final thoughts.
Well, you know, hey, I'll see you next year. But final thoughts are pretty much where I always land. You know, just tell people stay cynical and do your own research. And the one, you know, we talk about six corporations owning it, but, you know, they're not restricting your internet searches. So there's more than enough, whether it's Louisville Politics or Breitbart or hell, for that matter, Mother Jones or the Huffington Post. Don't really care. Just get out and do your due diligence on any and all issues that come up. For God's sake, don't take the major entertainment, and I like to call them the news and entertainment, because that's what it is. It's a news and entertainment industry. Don't take that prepackaged, you know, 13 minutes of news on a 30-minute newscast bullcrap and call it fact. They're skimming, and half the stories are fluff. They're not helping you out in any way, shape, or form. You know, unfortunately, in this day and age, the Cronkites are gone. The Brinkleys are gone. And, you know, that's just the way it is. You can't really believe the news you're getting. You can't believe it. You can't trust the depth of it. But at the same time, we do have the internet. You have the ability to research the way that the old school journalists did, like Woodward and Bernstein. You know, a couple clicks of a mouse, you can go find out what you need to know above and beyond what even old school networks and news outlets used to do. But you've got to take that initiative, because you know, obviously we're bashing on the prepackaged news industry today, and they deserve every bit of it. So take it upon yourself to educate yourself, you know, by yourself.
Well, there you go, and I agree with you. And we do bash the prepackaged, you know, media industry today, because that's exactly what it is. It's a prepackaged industry. You know, they want to sell us a bill of goods and expect us to listen to them lock, stock, and barrel, and they continue to lie, or at least, at the very least, exploit what the truth really is. And that affects all of us. That's why it's important for independent media, such as right here at the MVM Radio and LouisvillePolitics.com and all these different things that we do. That's why it's important to pay attention to independent media, and that's why it's important to help fund it. You know, that is the thing in a nutshell. When we're looking at everything from the rock bottom, from the guy who's listening to the radio, watching TV, or reading a print newspaper, you know, that it is being coerced into believing a certain thing or affecting their thought process, it's called brainwashing. When that continues on up the chain and goes all the way to the Supreme Court, where a corporation is able to buy favor in what's supposed to be an impartial justice system, then that becomes another situation. When we are blatantly avoiding holding accountability of an elected official because of a party designation, then that's just as scary. The bottom line is, you can make a difference. You have to make a difference. You know, we brought these things to you tonight to show you how everything works from beginning to end. I hope that it wasn't disconjointed. I hope that I was able to present what evidence I believe there is in a very good, fair, factual way. But at the end of the day, all the information I present to you is readily available on this here internet that you guys are listening to right now. And that's the thing. If you've got time to play video poker, you've got time to check out a certain political subject that may be important to you. Maybe it's legalizing marijuana. Maybe it's a national scale. Maybe it's the fact that we're now going to put boots on the ground and go after ISIS. Who knows? But make sure you know who you're voting for. Make sure you get involved in the process. And that's how we finally ultimately get control of the runaway media. That's how we finally ultimately get control of the dancing entertainment types that keep us from knowing the truth. That's how we ultimately get control when we hear the lies about North Korea, because we want to slide some illegal, treacherous, treasonous thing that goes against our Constitution and our beliefs. We want to slide that beneath the nose of the American people. Get involved. Stay informed. That's the way it is. Tomorrow night, I will be here at 7 o'clock. Dale the Truth will be out of town this week, so I will be doing the TNT Thursday Night Truth show tomorrow night for him, live at 7. We will have a best of on Wednesday night, New Year's Eve, and that is it. We will see you then. Have a great night, folks. Thank you, Mr. Martin.
Right.
I appreciate it. Take care, sir.
You have a wonderful night.
You too, sir. Thank you. Bye.